Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Well, hello, 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 everyone. Everyone that's tuned in to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. On behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and his lovely wife, Lady Zachary, we'd like to welcome everyone to our weekly Tuesday night Bible study, where we have our panel on tonight. I think we have Elder Victor Bluett, Minister Tolbert, Evangelist Stanton, and myself, your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV, and our own Derek Oliver, who is also the engineer for our show every week. And we just want to say welcome, welcome, everyone that's listening all over the world, everyone in, over in London and Germany and, you know, Jamaica, wherever you may be listening from. And we want to say welcome to our very own Praise Tabernacle Ministry members that are tuned in tonight. We want to say hello and welcome to our Bible study tonight. And we just want to pray that everybody get a good word tonight from our speaker. Our speaker will be our very own Derek Oliver. And I will release it over to him here in a minute. But we just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone that is tuned in tonight. And give God all the glory. Hope everybody's having a good fresh start of the week so far. And, you know, and anyone that needs anything, don't forget to go to our prayer request email and put a praise request in and or prayer request in. I'm going to ask Evangelist Stan later on at, towards the end of the service if we've got any new ones. And she will give out the email address for those that would like to send a prayer request in or a praise report. It don't always have to be a prayer request. It could be a praise report. If you'd like to share something that God is doing for you in your life, you can do that as well. Amen. And so we just want to welcome our panel and everybody that's listening all over the world. Here in the United States, over in London, over in Germany, over in Jamaica, wherever you're listening from. We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Praise Tabernacle Tuesday night Bible study. This is something that we do on a weekly basis along with other services that we do on a weekly basis. And we'll go over those towards the end of the service. So the very next voice you will hear will be our very own Elder Derek Oliver, who will be your speaker for tonight. Get your pen, get your piece of paper, so you can write some notes down, write some questions down. And between Derek Oliver and our panel, hopefully we can answer any questions that you may have during the course of the Bible study tonight. Derek Oliver, Elder Oliver, the service is now in your hands. God bless you, sir, and may the Lord be with you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Taylor. I just want to thank everyone. Thank the Lord for giving me another opportunity to share his word. I want to thank our Bishop and First Lady. Thank everyone that's on the panel. All the elders, deacons, evangelists, just want to say thank you. And I'm ready to go tonight. I'm going to ask for a little bit of help. You study stuff and you try to teach stuff, and then because I'm a preacher at heart, it just, there's so many things that just jump out at me. I'm going to try to behave myself, get us out of here real quick and fast so I can let everybody go, and hopefully we can get a good word in on tonight. I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to get right into the word. But while I'm doing that, if you can go to get your Bibles ready, 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8. So I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to get right into it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to hide me behind the cross, Father God. Father God, I ask that if anything in me that is not right, Father God, I ask that you clean it up right now, Father God. Father God, for all the sins that I've done knowingly and unknowingly, Father God, I ask for forgiveness. Father God, I ask that you give me the wisdom and the knowledge to rightly divide your word, Father God. Give the listener the ear to hear your word, not only hear your word, but be doers of your word. I ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, if I would have a theme for tonight, it's an old movie, and I'm probably showing my age. I thought it was in the 70s, but I come to find out it was in the late 60s. It was a movie called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. It was a movie, a cowboy movie with Clint Eastwood in it, and I thought that that title would fit my sermon tonight, the teaching on tonight, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And we're going to look at David, because in the scriptures we're reading 1 Samuel 1 through 8, there's some good, there's some bad, and there is some ugly. And I think that in seasons in our life, we have some good moments, some bad moments, and some ugly moments. And we have to learn how to encourage ourselves. We have to learn. And I was looking at this, and there's some things that popped out at me that I didn't see before. And that's what I get excited about, is when you read something over and over, you see something that you've never seen before, it just pops out. And maybe y'all seen it before, maybe you haven't. If me, I've seen it, it popped out at me, and I said, I got to do this. So if I get excited, I'm going to try to be nice tonight and teach, you know. But if the Holy Spirit takes over, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit take over. And I just want to say some things before I really get into the reading of this. I'm thinking back to Sunday. I know most of the panel was in church on Sunday, and there was something different in the air. I don't know if you noticed it. It was just a different feel. The service was different. It was different for the better. It seemed like things was changed, was being released. It seemed like people were free. It just seemed different to me. I may be in this room all by myself that felt that, but it seemed different. It wasn't like normal church to me. And y'all can tell the bishop, I'm going to talk about him a little bit, just because he seemed different on Sunday. And I understand he wasn't feeling well. And I kind of got this, was working on me Sunday night, because normally he has a joke, he has something for me, but he just very quiet. And as he began to take over the service, you could tell that he was encouraging himself. And come to find out, he wasn't feeling well. And sometimes we have moments where we have to encourage ourselves. We can't always look for our brothers or our sisters or our spouses or our family to encourage us, even though the Bible tells us we ought to lift one another up. But there's some seasons where You just have to go through and you have to encourage yourself. You have to give him the praise yourself. You can't always look for someone to pat you on the back. You can't always look for someone to give you a word. Sometimes you have to get it for yourself. Sometimes you have to get to a point where you have to talk to the Lord all by yourself. And I'm thinking about as many times I've encouraged myself and not even known I was encouraging myself. When I was a little boy and my father became a pastor, one of the things I used to do is I used to dress up in a shirt tie and pretend like I was preaching. And I used to do that not even knowing way back then I was encouraging myself for my future. I don't think y'all heard me when I say that. Sometimes when you think that you want to become something or you want to do something and you think about it and you do certain things, you're encouraging yourself without even noticing that you're encouraging yourself. There's some people, my wife's daughter is getting ready to go to college, and she's doing things now to encourage herself. She's been doing it for years, working up to this point. You know, when you get 18, I can't wait to move out of my house, move out of the house. She's been doing things for years to encourage herself, to prepare herself for this moment. We go through trials and we do things and we prepare ourselves and not even knowing that we're preparing ourselves for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I asked for some help. I hope y'all don't mind, but I'm going to have my wife read for me 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, verses 1 through 8. She's going to read that for me, and she's reading it for me. She's going to help me out because there's going to be some words I'm going to stutter on, and I don't want to. I want it to be crisp and clear, so she's going to do her best attempt to make these words crisp and clear for me. So she's going to read for me verses 1 through 8, the 1 Samuel. 30th chapter, verse 1-8. Go ahead.
All right. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abithar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abithar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Verses 1 and 2, I've you know, marked down as the bad. Verse 6, I marked down the good. And verse 6 also I have marked down as the ugly. Here is David, who's coming back. Him and his men was out, and he left the women and the children and every and all their belongings where they were staying at. And as they were gone, the Amalekites came in, took their wives, their children, and burned the city down. And as they were coming up, all they could see is smoke, and that their loved ones were gone. And the Bible says that they wept, so they couldn't weep no more. They were hurt by what had happened, you know. And I'm quite sure we've all been hurt before. I'm quite sure we all have had a season in our lives where we've come to find out we got some bad news, or things wasn't the way we left them when we left home, and we came back and things were different. We have had moments in our life where it just was not a good situation to have. And David and his men was weeping. It was a bad, bad situation that was going on. And to make matters worse, where it gets real ugly is that the men that was with David wanted to stone him because he was the leader. And mm-hmm. he took the men out of the city. And they were blaming David for what had happened. And these are the same men that David had helped before. It's a bad situation when you lose something. But it's even worse when people you helped start to blame you and want to stone you because they're hurt too. Because they lost what you lost. But they wasn't looking at it like that. They got selfish. They were seeing it's David's fault. They were blaming David. And I don't know if you've ever helped someone out before, and you helped them and you helped them, and then all of a sudden they turn on you. That turns into an ugly situation, because now you've helped them, and now that you need help, they don't want to help you. That's an ugly situation. And I was asking myself, well, how do you get through that hurt? How do you, in today's lifestyle, how do you allow yourself, how do you encourage yourself? And we're going to talk about encouraging ourselves when we're in a season of hurt, when you lost everything. How do you encourage yourself? And there's some things in here that really, really made me think about some stuff. As David and his men and the Ziklagites came and still took their wives and their children. And there's a little note in here. They didn't kill them. They kidnapped them. They took them captive. They could have killed them. They could have killed them, but they didn't. A lot of times, I just want to put a little note in here. The devil will come and steal your joy. He can't kill it. The devil will come and take your peace, but he can't kill it. The devil will come and do all these, but he cannot kill it. He can take it captive. That means you can go get your stuff back. But before you go get your stuff back, you have to have the power. You have to have the knowledge to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't wait for everyone to pat you on the back. You have to encourage yourself, because it's going to be a season in your life where it seems like everybody is against you, even people you help, even people in the church. It seems like everyone is going to be against you. You got to have the power and the know-how how to encourage yourself. Well, how do you encourage yourself? Well, I got some scriptures here for you. Philippians 4, 6, 7. You don't have to turn it. But Philippians 4, 6, 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You have to have a relationship. You have to have things built up. David had a relationship with the Lord, so he knew how to encourage himself. He had battles with a bear and a lion. He had battles with Goliath. He knew how to encourage himself, even when his men turned against him. And to make matters worse, do you know who the Amalekites were? The Amalekites was a distant cousin to David. It was a, it is one thing to have someone come and take your stuff, but when someone you know take your stuff, it's a different type of hurt. It's a different type of pain you go through. And we all can shout certain Sundays, we all can praise God on, but we all had seasons where we had some good, bad, and ugly. The good is David encouraged himself. He asked to go get the ephod, and he asked the high priest and to get the ephod. And as he began to talk to the Lord, he asked them, should I pursue after them? He was asking a question. Sometimes you got to talk to God and ask a question, and then you got to wait for the answer, because he answered him and said, pursue, you will overtake him. And where I want to preach at, it says you will recover all. It didn't say you're going to get some of your stuff back. It said you're going to get all your stuff back. When you encourage yourself and you begin to talk to God, and when you begin to encourage yourself and think about how he brought you over situations, over situations, over situations. And even though as brothers and sisters in Christ, you're supposed to uplift one another, there are going to be some seasons in your life, ain't no one going to be there to uplift you. You got to do this thing by yourself. That's why it's very important that you have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's why it's very important you have some credibility build up with the Lord. That's why it's very important that you have your own relationship with the Lord. If I had to wait on Elder Taylor to pump me up or to encourage me, I will be in sad shape and trouble. Not that he can't do it, but he's going through his own thing. Sometimes people can't get to you to uplift you. You got to learn how to uplift yourself. Now, we are supposed to uplift one another, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're commanded to do that. If when we do that, that's good. But there's some seasons in your life where you're in a situation, I can't get to Elder Taylor. Elder Taylor can't get. We got to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We got to learn how to uplift him. We got to learn how to, then not only do we have to encourage ourselves, we have to talk to God. We have to ask him, should I pursue? Some of us have lost our joy. Some of us have lost our peace. Some of us are in situations right now that we don't even know what's going on, and we're in a dark place. And it's a dark place privately because we don't want to bring it to life. And all I'm telling you tonight is you have to encourage yourself, because everyone can't see what you're going through. And how do you encourage yourself? You have to think about the past, how God has brought you through, how he has been there for you. And then you got to talk to him like David did and ask a question, should I pursue? Because the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he's trying to take you out. And it's okay to get your joy. It's okay to go get your peace. He's taking it from you. You got to go get it back. You got to go get it back. And there's a few things I'm getting ahead of myself, but I wanted to talk about, because, you know, I was on my show last night, and my wife said some things about her brother that was murdered. And she had made the comment that the people who murdered her brother only had to do 10 years, and that they're pretty soon they'll be getting out of jail, out of prison. And she said something to me that kind of put the icing on the cake for me. She knew that her brother had accepted Christ. And here's the thing. So she can forgive the people that did it, because she has to encourage herself. I can't encourage her in that. She has to encourage herself. She had to find that encouragement out for herself. When David found out, and I'm going somewhere with this, that his wife and kids were taken captive, they were not killed. That means it could have been worse, but it's not. And if you're looking at the negative of the situation, you will let that situation dictate to you what you can get into a deep depression. But the good part is they were taken
captive, that means he can go get him back. He would see him again. The good thing about if you don't have joy, you don't have peace, is that you can go get it back. It's not killed. It's not gone. You still have breath in your mouth, in your breath in your body. That as long as you have breath, you still have the possibility of getting it back. You still have the possibility of making it to tomorrow. You still have the possibility of encouraging yourself and not even know it. You're breathing right now. Still, you're breathing, you're encouraging yourself that you're going to be here tomorrow. Because you're breathing right now. You're not dead. You're not struggling for breath. That's encouraging yourself. Now, all you got to do with that is you got to put the Lord in him and be like, I can make it. I'm sorry, does anyone have anything they want to say before I keep moving?
Well, can you hear me?
No, I've been.
Hello?
You good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, you said a mouthful, but I just want to just elaborate on pursuing in your praise. A lot of times we don't pursue. And we're not persistent. We're not persistent in our praise. The devil can't steal anything. We allow him to come in. But if you stay persistent in your praise and stay in this word, you can outlast your problems. You can outlast your pain. You can outlast your obstacles. But you have to stay persistent in what you believe. Okay? You said the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, he come, but in whom he may. Whom he may. You can be one of those whom he may. We have to stay persistent. We have to say, keep our eyes on the prize. And if we keep our eyes on the prize, we already know. I say this all the time. We already know the outcome of any trial or tribulation. We know we're going to win. But we have to stay persistent. Every trial should make you closer and closer to Christ. Everything that you go through, Lord, how can I learn from what I'm going through? It's a lesson in every, it's a teaching moment in everything that we go through. But we have to be willing and open to learn from the mistakes or the obstacles or the things that we're going through. We have to be open to be taught, you know, what can I learn? Why am I going through this? And if you're going through the same thing over, you didn't get it the first time. So you have to keep repeating the same test over and over and over. But that's all I want to say. Just stay persistent in your praise, and just we can outlast it if we just stay persistent.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Elder, I do have something to say. Like Evangelist said, you gave us a lot. And one thing I like to do, and we always try to encourage everybody, especially with Bible study, is to get your Bible, to get a pencil and a paper. And it's especially important to have that pencil and paper because you need to write down and take notes of things that you've heard so that when you are going through a situation, you have something written down that you can go back to. Now, you're talking about encouraging yourself, and the scripture says in 30 and verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, I've been in that situation before where I have wept so because I was so discouraged, so heavy-hearted. And the thing that helped me was I had something written down that I read. Of course, the Word of God is excellent to read, but you just gave out some points tonight. And if you don't mind, I just want to reiterate those points that you said, because everybody who's listening tonight, if you find yourself in a situation where you are discouraged, he gave us 4 points that you can go back to remind yourself how to encourage yourself and get out. His number one point was, remember, God has brought you through something before. Remember how he brought you out before. There may have been a situation that you've gotten in that you didn't think God was going to bring you out, but he did. Write that down. Remember how God brought you out before. Number two, he said, talk to God. Pray. Pray. Let your go-to be prayer. Let your go-to be prayer. Just begin to talk to God. Tell him, cast all your cares upon him. Tell him you're heavy. Tell him, you know, God, this is what I'm going through. Even though he already knows it, give it to him. Cast it to him. That's number two. Number three, know that God is in control. You think the devil may be in control, but he's not. The devil is only trying to say that to you, but he's lying to you. He's not in control. God is in control. And number four, ask God what to do. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're discouraged, write these things down. What you wrote down, go to the Word of God. Remember that he's already brought you through. Begin to pray. Know that God is in control and ask God what to do. So thank you, Elder, because it's a reminder to us that if we do get in that situation and our hearts are heavy or we're weeping to the point where our eyes are so swollen, you know, we can't seem to talk. We don't want to say anything. We just want to lay in the bed because we feel like life is over, because sometimes you feel that heaviness on you. Go back to this and remember how to encourage yourself. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Pretty well, that pretty much does it. Anyone else have anything they want to say before I move on?
Yeah, I was going to say, that pretty much says it all right there.
Yeah, it did. Wow. Yeah, and one of the things where I feel for me and my walk with the Lord, and I'm reminding myself every day, not even knowing that I'm doing it, we always have to look back how we got through with, like Evangelist Stan said, write the notes, write it down. And I was sitting there at work last night, and I was thinking about things, and I'm always reminding myself, not knowing that I'm encouraging myself, and it's a built-in thing. You already know, and I believe Evangelist Blouette said it, you already know the outcome. You already know how you already know if you're walking with the Lord, if you're seeking. The devil really can't bother you or mess with you. But there are those seasons where there's, you know, you go through valleys where you sometimes wonder what in the world is going on. How did I get in this position? And Lord, what are you doing? You don't understand it. But as I'm listening to a lot of the saints, and I'm listening to Evangelist Blouette, and I listen to my wife, like, going through certain situations, and it's in Romans where it says all things work together. There's always a silver lining, regardless what you're going through, if you have that relationship with Christ. I'm not saying that you're going to always be on top of the mind. There's always in every situation. And as I was looking at this, and I was always wondering, why didn't they kill the wives and the kids? Why did they just kidnap them? And God told me, because you can always go get it back. There's nothing that we can't recover. And in verse 8, it says that you shall recover all. And that's what makes me want to shout, because regardless of what I have lost in the past, I can still get it back, because I can recover it. I can get it. I can have it if I pursue after it. And there's the pursue after it. That means I have to be willing to listen, and not only listen to God, but do what he tells me to do. And every time he tells us to do something, it's not always the most popular thing to do. And it's not always we may not think it's the right thing to do, because it's out of our normalcy. It's not in our comfort zone. But sometimes we have to go get what the devil has taken from us. We got to go get it back. And how do we get it back? We have to stay in line with the Word, and we have to listen for the instructions.
And when he said pursue after them, this is just for all these people who say, you know, the Lord isn't a punk. If the devil takes something, you go get it back. Go get it back. You have the power. You have the equipment. You have the weapons to go get what he's taking from you. If he's messing with your family and he's taking your loved ones, go get them back. You have the power to do it. But you got to talk to God first before you do it. You just can't be out there just doing stuff just to be doing it. You got to have instructions from the Lord. Just like David did, he spoke, and then he went, and he got it all back. And what I'm trying to let everyone know tonight, all over at Praise Tabernacle, wherever you're listening at, is you have the power to go get whatever he's taken from you back. Don't think that you can't do it. And those private things that you're crying about at night, that you walk in the halls, that you're stressing about, go get it back. Go get it back. I'm going to make a comment, and it's going to sound very insensitive. And I didn't check with my wife before I said it, but I'm going to say it. If you ever notice a pregnant woman, and I'm almost done, that's getting ready to have a baby, what is the number one thing they do? They always complain about them. And all I want to say is, just have the baby. Because you go through all the pain and all the trouble, and you complain, just have the baby. We understand it hurts. We understand you're going to go through some rough nights. Just have the baby. We know it's tough. And I'm saying this, and you know, I know a lot of us men are weak. We couldn't do what women do. And I'm not saying it to be insensitive. I'm saying it because a lot of times in Christ, we're birthing something when we're going through a lot of pain, something getting ready to be birthed. Instead of complaining about it, just go through it. Just go through
Amen.
It. Just like Jesus did. Just go through it. So I'm not being insensitive to you women that have babies. I know some of y'all go through a lot. She said, I understand it. But a lot of times in our life, in my life, when I'm being ready to birth something, when you're getting ready to go through something, there's a lot of pain. God is getting ready to deliver something that you've been working for, that you've been trying to get. It's getting ready to happen. It's like that kid that just won't do right, that's causing you a lot of pain. And every time you get a chance to talk to someone, you complaining about what they're doing. Pretty soon, it's getting ready to be birthed. You got to have the faith. You got to have the ability to believe. He's getting ready to birth something out of it. Because when you have birth, a baby is being, something new is being ready to be birthed. And when that's just me. That's just how I feel about the situation. So I don't want people emailing me, telling me, oh, you're being insensitive to women. No, just have a baby. Because when you have the baby, that's when the joy comes. That's when all the complaining in the world ain't going to stop the pain.
That's right.
All the complaining in the world ain't going to stop the pain. And I've seen people have babies. They go through a whole lot. And no matter how much you pray for them, they still had a sleepless night. But at the very end, when that baby is born, it was worth all the pain that you went through. Be injured, complaining about it, just have the baby and think about, encourage yourself, what it's going to be like when you hold the baby, what it's going to be like when you be able to rock the baby, all the good things about it instead of all the complaints. Now, that's easier said than done, and I know that. But we just have to understand that when we're living for Christ, we're going to have seasons. We're going to have moments where there's going to be some it's going to hurt. But we already know the income. We already know that we're going through all of this for a reason. We already know that we can celebrate, that we can, because the Bible says at the end, we will recover all. Everything is going to be okay. When you weep them, crying all them nights, it's for a purpose. You're getting ready. Something's getting ready to happen. And now I get excited about that. You're going to recover. It didn't say recover some. It didn't say recover a little bit. It says you're going to recover all. And I get excited about that because there's some things that the devil is taking from me that I'm going back to recover. I ain't mad about it no more. I didn't cry about it. I'm going to go ahead and recover it. I can't understand, and I was thinking about my wife said when she lost her brother, she still gets upset about it. But at the same time, the encouragement that he was in a good place. And now she can forgive. I ain't saying it don't hurt no more, but now she can talk about the positive instead of the hurt. And a lot of times we be hurt. We want to talk about the hurt and who hurt us and how they hurt and how long I've been going through. Okay, get over it. Talk to God. Pursue. Go get it back. If it hurt, go get it back. If you got friendships that's been messed up because of whatever it is, go get it back. If it's bothering you so much, go get it back. We're not supposed to just be sitting here and be hurt and allowing an old man because something took something worse. And we'd be like, we turn the other cheek and we walk away. No. We're not going to turn a cheek and walk the other way. What we're going to do, we're going to talk to God and ask God, can we pursue it? And if he tell you to go get it back, go get it back.
That's right.
Anyone else have anything they want to say?
I do. I would like to say, even with the ones that David helped, and they wanted to stone him. Regardless of how people treat us, if you read down in 11, what the Egyptian, they found him in the field. Now, if he had the attitude where I'm not going to do nothing? You know, people done me wrong. They want to stone me. I'm not going to help nobody else. What if he had that attitude and didn't help this Egyptian? And this Egyptian was a hidden treasure. And so many times we walk over hidden treasures, okay, and we overlook the things that we should be, you know, people we should be helping or giving it, we encourage it. When we go through, if we help other people and stop looking at our problems wouldn't be half as bad if we just help somebody while we're going through. And you never know. They might have the answer to your problem. Just like
that's right.
In the field.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Evangelist, he was part of the ones that went and it helped them get their stuff back because he was with them.
He was.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was sick. He told them exactly. And they left him back. That's why it's very important. And I wasn't going to go.
You leave back. But,
yeah, because God will leave people in your path that you think had hurt you to lead you to get your stuff back. And I believe a man said, if you give me some food, I'll take you to where your stuff is. I'm paraphrasing that, but I believe that's what happened.
If he didn't kill me.
Yeah, if he didn't kill me.
They failed.
I'll go get your stuff back. And you just got to have the strength, and I know it's hard to do. It's hard for me to do. I fell plenty of time to encourage ourselves. And in encouraging ourselves and in pursuit, we still got to have the mind of Christ. We can't have an attitude. We can't have, and this is just for me. I'm talking to myself now. Because a lot of times I get upset and I'm going, get my stuff back. But just like that man, I would have looked at him and kept it moving. I ain't got time to deal with you.
Yeah.
And that's just like the type of person that we need to talk to help us get to that next level. It's the least people you expect. We're looking for our brothers to uplift us. We're looking for everyone in the church to uplift us. Sometimes it's going to come from somebody in the street. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but sometimes it's going to come from somebody in the street to give you a word that you just might need to hear to get you over the hump. I know there have been times I've been in places and people have said things to me that was not saved. But it was an encouraging word to get me through what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that and you come to that place, I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm done because I don't want to get too far off into some another subject or another lesson. But sometimes we're supposed to uplift one another, but sometimes we go to church and we don't get uplifted, we get downplayed.
and I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we go to church and we get downplayed. When you go to church, they're not showing you love. It's phoniness. And when real recognize real, you know that these people really ain't got your back. They're just saying stuff. It's just rhetoric. It's just
right.
We go to church, we shout, we hug,
cliche.
I'm going to pray for you.
Cliche.
It's just it's not real. It's not authentic. When you love someone and when you hug somebody, you feel the love. You feel the compassion. You feel it. A lot of times we, and I'm guilty of it, we go to church, we go through the motions. And when you're going through the motions, there's no feeling there. There's no love there. It's just, I love you, sis. I'm going to be praying for you. And you ain't thinking no more after you said I'm praying for you. It didn't left your brain.
Yeah. That's happening.
And when you do that, when you talk to someone when you're going through something and they tell you, I love you, I appreciate you. And sometimes it comes from people that's not even in the church because you didn't help them so much. They respect you more than people in the church respect you. And this is for a different day, but when we go to church, and like I said, a lot of times, and I'm just being transparent now, I do it. Go to church, hey, want to get in, make sure everybody see me, hallelujah, praying for you, what's up, doc, boom, and out. I didn't show no love, no compassion, no nothing, not knowing what my brother or my sister going through. I just ran through the motions. And when you got more than one people doing that and you're in church, it becomes a place of there's no power. You're just going through the motions. You're just going through the motions. And then when something comes up or a crisis comes up, you want to blame the church because now you need something and you can't get it. And all you're getting is this falseness. You know, praying for you. You ain't praying for me because I don't feel it. I don't see it. And that's why when David's men, when they weep and they was crying, all like they was crying, they wanted to blame somebody for what they were going through. A lot of times people, when they go to church, it's like a hospital. We're looking to blame somebody. That's why we have to have compassion for people. We have to show love all the time, not this fake, phony love. Right, exactly, convenient. And it's just important that we start getting back. That's why it's important that we got to encourage ourselves, because just in case, when the people uplift you, ain't for real, and you feel it, and you know it. And I think every one of us that's on this panel has felt that before. You can walk in the church and walk right out the same way. Go ahead, Elder.
Oliver, you know, see, love is an action word, and people that truly walk, first of all, people that are truly in love with God, people that are truly in love with Jesus, that have a working, walking relationship, everyday relationship with Jesus. When they speak to Jesus on a daily basis, they are being instructed, they are being guided. And those are the people that you can tell in their walk with the Lord what kind of relationship that they have. You know, and Jesus said, you would know my people by the love that they show one another. And this is how we know who is of Jesus, by the love that we show one to another. And that we show a dark and dying world. Because Jesus said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And so we have to have that love, even when it's not convenient for you. And your flesh gets in the way. That's just the enemy telling you, don't do this or don't do that or don't say this or don't say that to a person. You know, but we have to be respectful of what Jesus is telling us and be instructed and be guided by him as to what to say, what to do. Whether it could be somebody that's very close to you that you think may not even need it. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be one of your children, you know. Or it could be somebody that is totally unexpected to hear from you, or maybe someone that you haven't heard from in a long time. But we have to be always in a position, regardless of what we're personally going through. Because like Evangelist Bluett said, we're going to go through stuff. And this is kind of going into the subject matter for next week. But can we maintain the love? Can we maintain who we say we are in Jesus, regardless of what we're going through? Can we still show love to other people in spite of what we're going through? And as long as we got Jesus, we don't fail. And as long as we listen to him, follow after him, have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto us, we will not fail. We will win. And so we always have to put ourselves in position to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, and have a willing spirit, a willing heart to be obedient to what he says, regardless if our flesh agrees with it or not. Because there's always going to be warfare between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is not going to always agree with what the spirit is saying, and the spirit is not always going to agree with the flesh if they never really agree with the flesh is thinking or saying. But we have to love wherever you're listening from tonight. Let me just say, we got to love each other and treat each other right. We have to, regardless of what we're going through in our lives. You know, we have to encourage each other this way. We have to support each other this way. Because when the world sees it, they're going to be like, wow. And all the things that they're going through and they're still showing love, that can change the hearts and minds of the world. People that's not of Jesus, people that don't have that's not saved, people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, they see that and they can be like, wow, I want some of that. I want to be like that. You know, and that's why he says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And that's what he does. And so, this is a good topic tonight. You know, and we have to know that, you know, if it's good, if it's bad, if it's ugly, we still got to be the same through it all. As believers in Christ, as we walk with Jesus, through the good, we got to be the same way. Through the bad, we got to be the same way. Through the ugly, we got to try to be the same way. You know, so I think that's important for us to strive to have such a strong relationship with the Lord that any and every little thing that comes to affect us does not move us off our post. And that we can continue to show love one to another and love to a dark and dying world.
Go ahead, Elder Bluett.
So this is a great message, great scriptures, where we find David in a stressful situation, what had happened, what the people expected of him, even getting ready to stone him. Because of his non-reactions. But we have to remember that is our all. He should be everything in our life. And when we turn to, when we sometimes get in a stressful situation, we will think of people that should come to us, or people that we should go to and get an encouraging word or whatnot. And it, a lot of times it doesn't happen, because we're thinking about what people should do, right?
Amen.
And it's not to put anybody or any person down, but it's just that we cannot We cannot look for something from a person and expect it. Their church life, based on how they act in church, how holy we think they are, you probably won't get it. A little regrettable to have spent time with that person or put so much effort in that person to get something out of that person. And that's where we fail. We fail.
Amen.
But it's not to put any person down. But in your lesson, if we go to go further down in the lesson, in verse 11 of Samuel 30, and remember that David had already went to God to inquire, right?
Right.
He didn't go to no man to inquire of the stress that he and the people were going through. So he had already inquired of God. God said, pursue. You shall recover all. Now, in his walk of hearing that from God, we get to verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field. Church member, this wasn't part of their group. This was not somebody they knew. So we always have to be on the lookout and aware of our surroundings and our walk after we've gotten a word from God. Anybody can bring you help in time of need. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made drink water, because he was faint. His master, the Amalekite, had left him because he fell sick 3 days ago.
Exactly.
But God had to have this young man, which he was a young man, lay behind for David to get to, because he was the one that gave them what they needed through God to defeat.
That's
and
right.
David said in verse 13, and David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And again, he didn't know him. It was a stranger. And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days gone, I fell sick. So let's don't get us, discouraged about coming to church and expecting our pastor to say a humbling word to us or to keep us encouraged, not expecting anybody in the church to say something to us to encourage us. But let's go with the expectation of what God has for us, and God is able, and we know that he can use anybody. Or when you walk out to a guy walking the streets by your car on the outside of that church to give you what you need. So let's take our faith out of people. I'm not saying that we have it, but again, let's take our faith out of people. Do what we must in obedience and be as David. Inquire of the Lord and heart.
Thank you, Elder Brewett. That was on point. Everyone on the panel tonight, Evangelist Stanton, Evangelist Bluett, Elder Taylor, all y'all, y'all really made this lesson. I just wanted to let people understand that we have to encourage ourselves, and it's not about people always uplifting you. Sometimes you got to up yourself when you're in a stressful situation, when you're crying and don't no one know what's going on with you. You got to encourage yourself. You got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and you never know when you're going to get your breakthrough. You never know who's going to, and it may not be no one inside the church. It could be someone outside the church. Not saying that they're going to be unsaved or saved. You just never know. It could be the least of the least. It could be your mailman. It could be anybody. We just have to be ready to receive it. And in order to be ready to receive it, you got to have the mind of Christ. You can't always have an attitude when things ain't going your way, because then you'll start looking at people a little bit sideways. And the person you're looking at sideways could have been the person that could have gave you your blessing, could have gave you what you need to get you to the next level. So that's all I wanted to say tonight. Hopefully you guys got something out of it. I know that I did. Keep encouraging yourself. Even when you don't think you're encouraging yourself, you're encouraging yourself. All you got to do is put the Lord in it and just keep that in your mindset, and that everything will be okay. Again, I want to thank everybody on the panel for your input. it to me is one of the best Bible groups I've ever been with. And just, I want to say thank y'all personally, because I am growing, and it's because of y'all. Y'all are pushing me to a new level. And I just want to say thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart, because I'm at a level now that is just untouchable. I can just sit and listen to y'all talk all day and get a lot of nuggets and write stuff down. So when I go through trouble, I can just look back and see what was said that can help me get to the next level of my life. And I wish everyone shared the same enthusiasm that I have when it comes to Bible study, especially with this team here. If you just listen for 30 days, that's four Tuesdays, and just listen, I guarantee you it'll put you in a different mindset of how you deal with everything in life, and it will be for the better, because the Lord, you're going to get what you need through Bible study. It may not come from the teacher. It could come from someone from the panel. I think I told Dr. Bouette, sometimes the comments from Bible study is what gets me to the next level. And that necessarily may be the teaching. It could just be the comments, because someone's giving me something that I didn't see before. And that's always good. So I just want to say to everyone on the Bible study, I thank all of y'all. I'm just being sincere. There's a lot of comments that goes on about our Bible study. People think, and when I say this, that we, you know, went to some type of school or we in training or something, and I just let them know we're just being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I like, because anyone can say anything being led by the Holy Spirit. So I just want to thank you all for that, and I'm going to turn it over to Elder Taylor.
All right, Elder Oliver, great, great, great lesson tonight, man. And I concur, agree with everything you just said, and that is so important, you know, with the panel sharing, giving input every Tuesday, every Bible study. It helps the lesson go along so easy, and just sharing with what we believe through Jesus Christ to be true through the Word of God. So it just makes the lesson easier, and I really, you know, have been really going through some things myself here lately, and just being part of the Bible study just gives me strength to keep pushing, keep moving on, something to look forward to, something to be a part of, and this encourages me along, you know. And like my wife just said, iron sharpens iron, and that's what I believe we do, and we believe, and we hope and pray that some people that are listening, if not everybody, somebody is getting something to help them to get to the next day, to get to the next hour, to get to the next minute, or even the next second. Because we don't know what everybody's going through. So we just want to pray that everybody is getting something that tunes in every week. And if you tune in for four Tuesdays in a row, we believe your life will change. Build a foundation and Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, you know, as well as listening to all of our other, if you're out of state, listen to all of our other services. Evangelist Stanton, can you give our email out once again? And if there has been anybody that has a praise request or a prayer request or a praise report, has anybody emailed us or sent anything to the email here lately?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. First, I will give out our email address. It is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, F-O-R-C-H-R-I-S-T @gmail.com. We do have two requests on this evening. Our first request is on behalf of John Johnson and his family. John Johnson is a young man that recently found out that he has cancer, and his mother and his siblings and his father, they would like for us to lift him and his family up in prayer for healing, and that they will be strengthened as they walk this out with him. Our second request is from the Oglesby family. They did thank us for their prayers, for our prayers when they lost their father, and they just asked that we just continue to keep them in prayer. They would be in peace throughout each and every day, you know, as they get used to not having him around. So those are our two requests tonight, John Johnson, who has cancer, and for his family, and the Oglesby family. We would continue to lift them up in prayer, as well as some of our Praise Tabernacle Church members who have experienced illness recently, that we would just continue to pray for their healing, that they would trust God in the process and know that God is well able to do anything but fail. Thank you, Elder Taylor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we hope everybody got those names and to be able to lift those names up in prayer as we begin to get ready to dismiss tonight. And just everyone be blessed as we move forward. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton. So we're going to get ready to dismiss. And remember, anyone, wherever you're listening from, if you have a prayer request or praise report, just send it to the email. And each week we'll try to get your names out so other people can hear it and get your praise report out or prayer request out, where other people can touch and agree with us as we begin to pray for you and your family. What was his name again? You going to understand?
John Johnson.
John Johnson. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Oglesby family. We just want
and
to
the
pray.
Oglesby family.
We just want to touch and agree with them, and that the Lord will bless them and keep them and heal them, that the healing power be upon the lives of these families. And, Lord, we just thank you. We just give you glory. We give you honor tonight, Lord God. We magnify your holy name, Lord God, that you go forth in and out and throughout the earth, Lord God, that you touch the people that need healing, that you touch the people that need a mental touch from you, that you touch the people that need a physical touch from you, Jesus, Lord God. Comfort them, Lord God. Keep them mentally stable. Keep them physically stable, Lord God. Keep them saturated in the anointing that destroys all the yoke, Lord God. And that your will be done in our lives, and that we can have an ear to hear what you are saying unto us, Lord God, that you can be glorified in each and every one that is listening, that is under the sound of my voice, that you can touch me, Lord God, touch Elder Taylor and family and his wife, Melanie Taylor, and all of our children, Lord God, that you be glorified through them, Lord God. Help us to be examples of who you are in our lives, Lord God, each and every day, everywhere we go, that we can be examples not only to a dark and dying world, but to each other within the body of Christ, Lord God. We decree it, Lord God, that your word will reign in our lives, that your Holy Ghost will reign in our lives, that your anointing will destroy the yokes in our lives. We come against any and everything that is not of you. And Satan, we serve you notice right now that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Anything that you say, anything that you do, we rebuke it. We bind it. We put the blood of Jesus upon it right now and the word of God on you right now, saying that everything that you say is a lie and everything that you say is untrue, and we shall not believe it, that we shall walk in the name of Jesus, that we shall walk in the glory of God. that we should be saved and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that we will last until Jesus returns to his church. And we just say thank you right now, and we give you glory and honor as we close out our Tuesday night praise tabernacle Bible study on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, as we do our Great Commission scripture, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Be blessed. Amen. God bless everyone that tuned in tonight. Tell somebody to tune in the next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone.